From Directions Magazine, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, June 18th, 2013. Each week, this podcast looks at news and trends related to all things location. This is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor in Somerville, Massachusetts.
And this is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief at the Mundo Geo Connect Conference in Sao Paulo, Brazil.
Are there terms you come across in your day-to-day work whose definitions still seem fuzzy? You sort of know what they mean, but if pressed, you couldn't give a confident definition? We'll share some terms that still make us uncomfortable and offer their definitions after a word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by ESRI. Make ArcGIS Online the mapping platform for your organization. Sign up for a free 30-day trial today at esri.com/agoleval.
Now, this past week, I saw the term Hadoop in a bunch of articles and on Twitter, and I realized that it's something I vaguely know what it is, but if you asked me, I couldn't really give you a good definition. So what we decided to do this week was to collect five terms each that we find we sort of know but maybe could do a little bit better on, and we're going to share the terms and their definitions. So the first one I want to talk about is Hadoop. And Hadoop is an open source software framework, and it basically lets programmers distribute data and tasks across a whole bunch of computers. And it's written in Java, and if you really want to impress your friends, you can share that with them that it's the open source version of MapReduce, which is a Google solution for the same kind of problem. So it's basically something for programmers, but we who aren't programmers still need to know what it is.
Well, Adina, so my collection of words, after looking over the five that I chose, actually had more or less to do with one particular topic, and it wasn't out of any notion that I was going to do that, but they all came around to data management in some fashion. And the one I wanted to start with first was near-field communications, NFC. I'm hearing the term a lot recently, and I just wanted to explain it a little bit better and maybe what the applications are. So near-field communications, NFC, a set of standards for smartphones for a radio communication, and this is a Wikipedia definition, for a radio communication with each other by touching them together or bringing them into close proximity, usually no more than a few centimeters, and of course proximity being the operative word there. What I'm seeing a lot of is the use of near-field communications now for location-based advertising. When you come in proximity, if you were standing at a line in the gasoline, for example, you may see an ad pop up at the gas pump, and you may see an ad that may be relevant to you. We've had the one company in our circle called Bluebyte that is doing something near-field communication and utilizing Wi-Fi and Bluetooth, and in particular geofencing technology, which we talked about also recently. So we've put some links in the show notes to talk about that further, but near-field communications, whether that's Bluetooth, Wi-Fi, or RFID, them becoming more in our parlance.
Second term I want to talk about is also a pretty technical one, and this one has popped up in a number of contexts over the last couple of weeks, and that's the term REST. And REST actually stands for something. It stands for Representational State Transfer. Sounds a lot better as REST. What it is a way for clients and servers to talk to each other. And it's become very popular as a web API to write applications that run on the web. And the reason that it's exciting is that it's built on the HTTP protocol that HTML runs on. And according to programmers, it's a really easy way to program. So if they have the option of using REST versus something else, they tend to like REST because it's, quote, easy, unquote. And that's why REST is such a hot deal right now.
The next one I wanted to talk about is OLAP. If you're doing any reading about analytical processing, that which being part of the definition, OLAP stands for Online Analytical Processing, we come across it a lot these days, or we come across certainly analytics a lot these days in the parlance of using location analytics or business analytics. The concept of OLAP is multidimensional, and more of a specific definition is it's an approach to answering multidimensional analytical queries. Now, one big example of that is using time and space, and certainly spatial interaction, to analyze lots of information. And one example that was given in Wikipedia, which I think is a good one, is if you're in the sales operation part of the business and you're looking at how many products you sell over time in a particular space or location, those are three dimensions, the product information, time, and location. And to be able to analyze the relationships between all of that would be put into what's called an OLAP cube. So those three dimensions create the cube itself. So hopefully that's a clear definition of OLAP, and in particular an OLAP cube.
Okay, my next term comes out of education, and this is a really hot term that's getting thrown around a lot by me and many other people, and that's MOOC. And MOOC stands for Massive Open Online Course. And each of those words has a bunch of wiggle room in it. So let's just walk through them and you get a sense of what this means. So massive can mean anything from a few people to tens of thousands of people. And some MOOCs are very big and some MOOCs are very little, but they're still called MOOCs. Open, just like the term open, has many meanings. In general parlance, it also has a lot of different meanings within MOOC. It could mean open, like free, no cost. It could mean open, the content is open to be reused. So you got to be a little bit careful about which meaning of open is being used. The second O is online, and that one's pretty standard, except that some courses have an online component but might also have a local component where you might get together with people in your community who are also studying in the same course. And the C is for course, and that also has a bunch of fuzziness because it could mean something more traditional like each week you have assignments and each week you must turn them in. Might mean it's self-paced and there's a bunch of content and you just work through it at your own speed. You might get credit for it. You might not get credit for it. You might get a certificate of achievement for completing the course. So the nature of the coursiness of it also varies. But those are the basic ideas behind massive open online courses or MOOCs.
The third term I wanted to highlight is more of a buzzword, but I think it needs further refinement, and that's just the term of big data. My previous two examples, OLAP and NFC, OLAP being a way to analyze data, NFC, the actual source of the data, I think are two examples that fit into this big picture of big data. So what is big data? Well, again, the Wikipedia definition is it's a collection of data sets so large and complex that it's difficult to process using traditional data processing applications, for example, a relational database. So it demands handling so much volume of data that your typical relational database or spreadsheet or whatever you use just can't handle that many records at any particular time. But the reason why big data is becoming such a buzzword is that we have more and more data available to us. So the applications thereof are spotting trends in real time. If you had to put a succinct reason why we're looking at this, it's spotting trends in real time. Crime, roadway traffic conditions, sales transactions. An example of big data, Amazon handles millions of back-end operations a day. Facebook handles 50 billion photos from its user base. Walmart handles more than 1 million customer transactions every hour. Those are big data examples. Again, the source for this is Wikipedia. But I think it's useful to put big data in some context. The bottom line is we want actionable intelligence from all of these data sources that we're getting in.
And actually, my next term is very nicely related to big data, and it's fire hose. And clearly the term comes from the physical fire hose that the firemen use where all that water comes out under pressure. And what a fire hose refers to in technology is basically the stream of all of the data that's coming out of a particular application. And the most common use is with Twitter, so the Twitter fire hose. And that would be all of the public tweets being made all around the world all the time. And it's huge. It's just absolutely huge. And you can actually tap into it from Twitter, but it's really expensive to do that, and it's a lot of data. So what Twitter offers is an API, but that doesn't actually have the full fire hose in it. It has a filtered version of it. So you're not really getting that raw data. But some people want that raw data. So it's an interesting combination. And even though it's most commonly associated with Twitter, you could think about all the data that's being posted on Facebook or Yelp or Foursquare. There's still other fire hoses out there.
The next term I want to focus on is persistent surveillance. And I want to put that in remote sensing terms. It's often associated with drones or UAVs, and it pertains to what I would call regular, real-time capture of mostly video images of remote areas. It's being used a lot in, obviously, military and counterterrorism measures. The analysis of the video is undertaken with the hope of obtaining change detection. We're capturing all this video. We may be doing it on a regular basis, daily basis. What has happened between the time interval? What's the change? Can you detect that change in an automated fashion? So persistent surveillance being data that is captured regularly, but down the line, the objective is, what's the change? And it's a real challenge for us in geospatial technology, because we know that there is becoming, again, more big data of imagery available. We just need to find the right processes to detect change.
Okay, the last term I want to talk about is crowdsourcing. And the reason I want to talk about that is because I think it has some connotations, both positive and negative, but I'm not sure people realize that it's a very generic kind of term. And what it is, basically putting out a call for input from pretty much everyone on the planet. And there doesn't have to be any promise of payment. But the idea is that everybody will give a little bit. They'll give a little bit of data or one or two ideas. And from that, the person who made the query or the organization that made the query can use that towards some higher purpose. So the most common example that we have in our world is OpenStreetMap, which is everybody doing a little bit to contribute to this open world map. And crowdsourcing has different sort of flavors. Very popular right now is crowdfunding, which is where you ask a lot of people to give a little bit or a lot of money towards some end. And there's a lot of that going on in geospatial now. There's another call for funding for zombie-based learning, which is a tool to teach geography via zombie comic books. I've seen a couple of requests of late from organizations looking to build physical campuses to study geospatially related things. So they're asking for bigger bucks maybe than some of these other kinds of projects. But crowdsourcing, even though I think we associate it very tightly with data and with questionable data, it's really for a whole lot more than just data collection.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting trend. I love crowdfunding and the whole Kickstarter notion. So my last example is more or less a series of terms, and I'll bring it up for a reason, which I will explain. So it has to do with augmented reality. Now, we've heard the term augmented reality. We know that it more or less pertains to enhancing our real-time, real-world visual picture, while virtual reality is essentially removing all the real-world examples to essentially simulate reality. The more interesting term that you may not have heard of is called mediated reality, in which a view of reality is modified, possibly even diminishing rather than augmenting the picture using computer processes. And the reason I like the term mediated reality is that it goes back to the fact that we just discussed about all of this data that's available to us. I think that all of this information that's coming to us using computer processing techniques will find its way into our reality or our vision at some point, whether that's through augmented or virtual imagery. And we will want to use it in some fashion, whether you're using Google Glass for augmented reality or gaming in the virtual sense. Whatever the data that's coming to us, I like the term mediated because it connotates some interaction that we may have a choice of what data to use in either the virtual or augmented sense. So mediated reality is my word that sums it up.
Okay, well, those are the terms that have made us a little bit uncomfortable and that we've tried to clarify. Part of my goal in doing this was to encourage listeners to take the 2 seconds and do a little search on those terms so that they become clearer and clearer in your mind, so you don't have that kind of fuzzy feeling. And Wikipedia is a great resource, and we've put some in the show notes for the terms that we've discussed. But take that time, enhance your vocabulary, you'll be better for it. That's all the time we have for today.
Our sponsor, Esri, would like to remind you that the Esri Education GIS Conference will be held July 6th to the 9th in San Diego, California. Attend the conference to meet with other GIS educators and learn how to maximize your GIS investment at your institution. Visit esri.com/educ, that's E-D-U-C, for more information and to register. And from us here at Directions, we hope to meet you at the Esri Education GIS Conference. Come by our booth and see us.
If you'd like to comment on today's podcast, you can reach us at editors@directionsmag.com. You can send us a tweet at directionsmag, or you can leave a comment where this podcast is hosted at Directions Magazine. Thanks for joining us, and be sure to tell a friend.